You are Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. Father, you are holy, you are good, and Father, you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Father, we just confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, you said that every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. And Lord, it'll be to your glory, Father, to your honor, to your praise. Father, we are so grateful. Father, we just believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He died upon that cross. He shed his blood for our sins. He rose again on the third day. And now, Father, through him and through him alone can we approach you. Father, through him and him alone can we have this great salvation. And Father, we just bless you tonight. Father, we're going to receive your word with joy. Father, we just rely upon the Holy Ghost to unveil and to reveal your word. And Lord, you are faithful. You are good. You're the life giver. You're the promise keeper. You're our living Savior, our healer, our provider, and our protector. And Lord, there's nothing that you won't do to help us. You are so faithful and good. Lord, you said over there in Romans 8:31, who or what, if God be with us, who or what could be against us? Yes. You said over there a few more verses in verse 37, you said that we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Father, we are so grateful for your love and for your word. We receive it now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of God here tonight? Oh, we came for the word. We always come for the word. Amen. And all that God wants to do in our midst. And we want to praise him and celebrate him always. Amen. Praise God. Well, turn with me in your Bible. Go over to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to start over there in verse 7. And tonight I'm going to call this message drama-free living. Drama-free living. How many of you want to have drama-free living? God has called us to drama-free living. But we got to be careful because there's so many opportunities for drama to not just get into our lives, but there's a lot of opportunity for drama to control our lives. And also, we got to be careful that we're not lending ourselves to drama, you know, because these days there's just so much, you know, going around. There's a lot happening in the world. We can't get afraid of all the things you hear on the news, but much more in a microcosm, we got to be careful not to lose self-control, you know, and allow ourselves to get pulled into drama or division or whatever it may be. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to start over there in verse 7. And we're going all the way back to the days of Abraham. Here we are again, talking more and more about Abraham. Just when I think I can, you know, be free of talking about Abraham, here we go. Well, if you've ever, you know, realized this, if you study the word, do you realize, and of course we've gone through this, you know, several weeks ago, but do you realize that Abraham's life is a type and a shadow of exactly what God wants from our lives? You know, if you've ever wondered, and it's very interesting because that's way back there in the Old Testament. But you have to remember that when God approached Abraham, it was a covenant of faith. Just like our covenant through Christ is a covenant of faith. Remember, through Moses, the law was given. But God was looking for people to live by faith. The Bible even said, even in the days of the Mosaic law, the just shall live by faith. Amen. And so Abraham's life is very much a type and a shadow of the life that God wants us to live. And there's a reason why God chose Abraham and decided to use him. Praise the Lord. Can we bring myself down just a little bit in the house? I feel a little bit loud up here. And you never know, I could get to preaching and start breaking speakers and who knows what could happen. Praise the Lord. And also, I have to admit, hearing the sound of my own voice isn't always my favorite. Praise the Lord. Go to Genesis chapter, where did I tell you? Go to chapter 12 first. Yes, we're going to spend most of our time in chapter 13. And let's just kind of set the stage. I can't read all of everything out of these two chapters, and so I'm going to have to just fill in the story, especially if you're visiting here tonight. We've been talking a lot about this lately. But God called Abram, and of course, His name originally was Abram, and then later his name was changed to Abraham. And just for the sake of continuity, I'm just going to use the name Abraham, but in case you hear the name or see the name Abram, you'll know that it's the same person. But remember there in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3, God called this man out of the Ur of the Chaldees, right? And he was 75 years old at the time. He had no child. His wife was 10 years younger, and they were living there. His father was there, and God said, get out of your father's house and to go to a land that I will show you. Remember how God had a land promised for Abraham? And then Abraham took his wife Sarah and also his nephew Lot. Remember, Lot's father was dead, and so Abraham was given oversight over his nephew Lot. And Lot, of course, was expected to follow Abraham and in some ways obey Abraham. And remember, Abraham rescued Lot at one point. We're going to talk about all this. Praise the Lord. And so we get to Genesis 12:7. Abraham has left his father's house. He's taken, you know, his wife, his nephew Lot, many of, you know, servants and all their belongings, and they're trekking out, you know, into the wilderness, so to speak. And then we pick it up in verse 7. The Lord appears to Abraham and said, unto your seed will I give this land, unto your descendants will I give this land. And it says, and there Abraham built an altar to the Lord who had appeared unto him. See, so many times when we think of the name of the Lord, or we hear that the Lord appeared to Abraham, we got to remember, folks, this is Jesus himself. You know, we don't think of it being Jesus in the Old Testament, but that's exactly who appears. You know, there's many times where Jesus himself appears in the Old Testament. You know, and sometimes because his name was just, you know, called the Lord, we don't think of it like that, but that's exactly who showed up. And now, as soon as Abraham and Sarah got to that land, the Lord said, okay, this is it. This is what I was talking about. This is the promise. And so he said, stay right here. This was the land that God had promised. Now, when you are told to do something by God, if he gives you a land or shows you what to do or where to go, you just might think that everything is just going to be perfect, right? Right? I mean, if God told you to do it, well, you might get thinking in your mind incorrectly that everything should just look perfectly, go perfectly, and so on. But look at verse 8. We're going to read through this. And it says there, it says, and he removed from there unto a mountain unto the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed going on still towards the south. Okay, now pick it up in verse 10. Look what happens in the 10th verse. And there was a famine in the land. You know, you think, you know, if God told you to go there, if God commanded, you know, something for you to do, if God, you know, gave something to you, you would just automatically think, you know, that everything is always going to look perfect, feel perfect, and turn out just the just the way you want it. How many of you know Abraham got to the land? He got to the promised land. You know, he obeyed God, did everything just right, and the first thing that showed up was a famine. And so he gets there, and Abraham starts building an altar to the Lord. He starts fellowshipping with God. He's faithful to God. He's willing to, you know, surrender his own will. He goes to the altar and says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Folks, I'll tell you what, a lot of people, they never even get to that point. A lot of people haven't even got to the point where they're willing to crucify their own will at the altar of God. Folks, have you at least been willing to do that? I believe you have. You know, but we should, as believers, we should go before God and say, not my will, you know, your will be done. This is what I want to do. I want to follow the plan of God. But as soon as Abraham starts to build that altar, get faithful to God, a famine shows up. And it says a famine was in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to live there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, you look at this and you think, well, what's the problem with that? But did God tell him to go to Egypt? No, he told the Lord, appeared to him and said, I want you to be here. I want you to stay here, right? In the land that I will show you. Remember that? In verse, 1 through 3 of chapter 12, he says, go to the land and live where I will show you. And the first thing that happens is a test of Abraham's faithfulness. Will he stay in a place that God told him to stay in, whether, even though it might be inconvenient or uncomfortable or hard to do so, right? And so here we see Abraham makes a mistake. He starts, he leaves the land and he goes to Egypt. All right, now everyone stay with me because we're going to start filling in this story, okay? All right, he leaves Egypt. Why did he go to Egypt? Because if you study the Bible, you'll see that there was many times when there was famines in that part of the world. And when there was, the typical thing to do, everybody just packed up and went down to Egypt. Why? Because there was something in Egypt called the Nile River. Remember? And in the Nile River Valley, no matter what was going on everywhere else, it was always lush and fruitful, and the Nile River watered, that plain. And how many of you know it was a very fruitful plain? And so everyone would say, well, here's a famine. Let's go and, head to Egypt. So Abraham made a mistake and started doing what everyone else was doing. But was that where God told him to be? No, it wasn't. All right. Folks, we got to understand this. The moment you sell out to God and start, giving all of your attention and your faithfulness, and you start to surrender your will to God, something is going to come along to drag you away from that altar. That famine was a distraction. That famine was just trying to get, Abraham away from that altar. Folks, we got to understand the devil is doing the same exact thing in these days. If you are sold out to God, you have to know and understand something is coming to distract you. Things are going to try to happen. You could say it this way. A financial crisis came to Abraham. The economy can go bad. People can lose employment. I'll tell you what. Listen, God's going to take care of you. But I'm here to tell you, just because something happens in the land doesn't mean we change our faithfulness. We don't change what God told us to do. We don't unhook from where God told us to be. Amen. Are you here? There was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt because that's just what everyone else did. All right? And folks, the reason why I bring this up is because there's always something coming to try to take you away from the altar. I'm not talking about necessarily, this church or any other church or something, though that would be included, right? We know the enemy would love to get us out of the place where God set us in our local church or whatever. He's just trying to get you out of that plan. He's trying to get you more focused. Like in Abraham's case here, he got more concerned with his money and his opportunity than he did staying at the altar. And I'm here to tell you that these last 5 years have distracted more Christians away from their time of fellowship and worship and faithfulness and Bible study and time with God. All of a sudden, all that stuff regarding COVID and all the aftermath, what it was there to ultimately do is to draw people away from the altar, to get them into new habits, bad habits, get, casual with the things of God, stop reading the Bible, stop praying, stop going to church, stop giving, stop serving. Folks, I'm here to tell you, stuff like this comes, and this is just the prelim of my sermon here. This isn't even one of the main points. But don't think it's such a strange thing if you're serving God with all of your heart and something comes to challenge you. Don't be surprised if all of a sudden you find yourself wanting to serve, business or hobbies or things of your, own recreation or whatever. There's always going to be something trying to pull you away from the altar of God. So he got out there. He found the land. But, isn't it interesting? The land itself, didn't look good enough to Abraham at first. Folks, this is why it is so essential to know the difference between God's voice and what just looks good to you. Do you see this? God's voice was telling him, stay right here. But the circumstances around him were telling him, go somewhere else. Go where it's easier. Go where it's more opportunity. Folks, we've been teaching over these last several weeks about hearing the voice of God. Folks, we have to understand not everything that looks good is necessarily God's plan in your life. You've got to know the difference between what's good and what's God. And naturally speaking, the land that Abraham was looking at is like, wait a minute, nothing's growing here. Even though God told me to be here, I'm out of here. Well, what happened when he got down there to Egypt? Abraham almost lost everything, didn't he? Remember, he got there. Sarah, his wife, you know, she was in her 60s and still very, very pretty. And remember, the Pharaoh saw her and said, hey, I like her. And remember Abraham's plan? Abraham said, hey, wifey, just tell them that I'm your brother so they don't kill me and take you. Well, Pharaoh took her anyway. And Pharaoh takes Sarah for his own wife. How many of you know Sarah was where the blessing was to have the child of promise that God was going to give them? How many of you know, Abraham and Sarah aren't going to be having any children if she's taken away for another man? And so Abraham almost lost his wife. He almost lost his future family and his children. And most of all, he almost completely destroyed the plan of God. And with it was our redemption. You know, Abraham was doing this stuff. You know, God was leading him to get him into a place to be the father of the bloodline that would bring Christ into the world. And it was almost cast away because Abraham just did what everyone else is doing. Followed the easy flow. Listen, what are you going to do when circumstances are saying one thing? We got to hear what God's voice is saying, because God's voice might be saying something completely different. I'm not going to Egypt. I'm not here to do what everyone else is doing. I'm not here to follow some, popular plan, right? We're here to hear God's voice. Our number one desire is to hear his voice, to know his will. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we see what almost happened there. Now, let's go over to chapter 13 and pick it up in verse 1. All right, tonight we're going to talk about the lesson of Lot. Lot is the name of Abraham's nephew. And Abraham and Lot, his nephew especially, Lot learns a very difficult lesson in life. And tonight we're going to talk about it. Lot started to allow drama to control and influence his life. Folks, we don't want drama in our life. Your home is supposed to be a drama-free zone. This church is what? A drama-free zone. You know, your brain should be a drama-free zone. Amen. Praise God. And so now it says this. Look at this over here in chapter 13, verse 1. It says, and then Abraham went up out of Egypt. He got out of there. He and his wife, they made it out. Aren't you glad that God's mercy will bail you out? You don't want to lean on that. You know what I mean? You don't want to depend on that. You'd rather just obey God. But Abraham and Sarah and Lot and the rest of them, they escaped Abraham's mistake. And it says that he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with them, they went back. Look at verse 2. It says, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar. Look at verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the beginning, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham gets out of Egypt and goes back to the altar. Aren't you glad that even if you miss it, you can go back to the altar? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I think there's probably a lot of Christians in our nation that need to get back to the altar. This nation needs to get back to the altar. 2026, it's a new year. It's a good time to get back to the altar. Maybe distractions, maybe things, trials and hardships or whatever pulled you away from the altar. Get back to that fellowship with God. Get back to that place of meditating in God's word. Get back to a place of praise and worship and fellowship with God again. Amen. I talk to a lot of Christians when they can remember a time in their life when they were more on fire for God than they are right now. I tell every time a Christian says that to me, well, get back to that place then. Abraham started to go cold in Egypt, so to speak. He started to lose his spiritual fire. Well, he started to realize, oh my goodness, I got out of the plan of God. I went to a place God didn't call me. It's time to get back to that altar. Amen. And see, God will restore the plan even if you've been away for a while. Again, we don't want to have to depend on this, but if you've been away from that place, get back to it and the plan can resume. Are you here? Aren't you glad that you serve a merciful God? Amen. Now look at this, verse 5. See, this is still prelim. I haven't even got to my points. And it says in verse 5, and Lot also, which was with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. What it's saying here is both Abraham and Lot possessed such big herds of animals that the land itself where they were trying to live wasn't able to contain or feed those animals. All right. But remember here, and I'm going to keep reminding you, who is the one that God was talking to? Abraham. Who was the one that had the blessing? Abraham. Who was the one that had oversight with Lot? Abraham. You know, and we're going to remember that because watch what happens. And it says in verse 7, and there was a strife. Everyone say strife. Or we could say it this way, and there was drama. There was drama. There was drama even in the days of Abraham. Oh, I love verses 7 and 8. Are you ready? Watch Abraham's heart here. This is why God could use this man. And there was strife, drama, between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the parasite. There's parasites in the land. I know it's Z's, parasites. All right, those were people, not bugs. All right. The Canaanite and the parasite dwelled then in the land. Now look at verse 8. Look at Abraham's heart. So Abraham said to Lot, let there be no drama. Let there be no strife. The word strife, it means fighting, you know, bickering, disagreement, division, all right? Let there be no drama, I pray you, between me and you and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For what did Lot, or excuse me, Abraham, what did he say? For we are brethren. We are brothers. Now, he's talking about in faith. Obviously, he was the uncle and Lot was the nephew. He says, we're brethren, we're kin, we're family. You know, we serve God together. All right. Amen. And he says, let there be no strife. This is why God could use Abraham so mightily, because he was a peacemaker. He kept the peace. Abraham was the one with the blessing. Abraham was the one in control. Abraham had the authority. Abraham had heard the voice of God. Right? Abraham could have just said, hey, get out of here. But he said, no, let's not have any strife. Let's make sure that we're not divisive. Abraham knew that drama within covenant relationships is like kryptonite to the plan of God. Yeah. Abraham wasn't going to get in an argument to figure out who was right. He knew that there was more at stake than who was correct or incorrect. He knew that there was the plan of God at stake. Therefore, keep the peace. He didn't try to get his way, even though Abraham could have easily demanded his way. Yeah. He was the one. He was the elder. He was the one that had oversight over Lot. And he said, I pray you, you know, let's make sure that there's no division here. God will use somebody who has revelation of not harming the plan of God. You know, there's going to be drama. There's going to be, you know, disagreements. And the objective as a Christian is not to be right all the time, meaning not to get your way or to win the argument. The goal is to protect the plan of God, even if you have to back off or, be submissive or just be gracious, just like Abraham was being. Amen. Praise the Lord. But yet so many times, especially in the days of social media, we just think that everything in life is just about being right. Let's just prove our point. say our piece, get our way. But folks, if there's strife between you or, you know, somebody in your church family, division, that's going to hurt the will of God, the plan of God, more than it is important about who cares who's right. Who cares? You see this heart that Abraham had? Abraham came forward and said, who cares who's right? Who cares whether my herdsmen are at fault or your herdsmen at fault? Let's just make sure that God's plan, that God's people are not hurt. He said, because we're brethren. He's saying, you know, there shouldn't be division. He's not talking about physical division. He's talking about spiritual division. There shouldn't be drama. Are you here? Abraham was a man who was living drama-free. He was drama-free. Hallelujah. Now we're going to start getting into, are you ready? We're going to talk about the lessons of Lot. All right. Amen. Abraham's heart was on full display. He was a peacekeeper, and he knew that strife and drama amongst covenant relationships is kryptonite to the plan of God. And Abraham refused to have strife. There are some people, Christians even, who get hindered because they constantly kick up or demand strife. Ooh, are you here tonight? We as believers are going to have to be peacekeepers. We're going to have to give up our own point at times and just, hey, let's not have any strife. You know, even if you have to agree to disagree, being right isn't the goal. What the goal is to preserve and to help and to foster the plan and the will of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. We are going to have to be keepers of the peace. We're going to have to make sure that our mind, our brain is a drama-free zone. We're going to have to make sure our relationships are a drama-free zone. If somebody, you know, is constantly trying to, you know, stir up drama with you, you're going to have to just, you know, separate yourself. You know, kindly distance yourself. There's times, and it's so unfortunate that we have no other option but to distance when there's strife. Look at verse 9. Praise the Lord. Are you here tonight? It says, now look at what Abraham says. He says, is not the whole land before you? He says, separate yourself. Go your way. I pray you from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right, then I will go to the left. Isn't that the heart of a gracious man? He says, you just go ahead and choose, and you're going to have to go. And you know, he said, whatever way you go, I'll just go the other way. In order for strife to not have its way. Amen. And now, here we go. We're going to start talking about the mistakes that Lot makes. We're going to read verses 10 and 11. And the decision that Lot is going to make in these next two verses will be the decisions that will dominate the rest of his life. And you're going to see these decisions will take him to the lowest points that he will ever experience on this earth. And you're going to see that he goes to some very, very low points. All right? All because he started right here, verse 10. Look at verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes. He beheld all the plain of Jordan. Now, the plain of Jordan was where Sodom and Gomorrah was. Remember that? And it says that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Folks, do you see what this verse is talking about? Lot looks at the land and says, oh, it's beautiful over this way. It's well watered. It looks great. And then the scripture takes a little pause and says, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, this verse held a little piece of prophecy that Lot didn't realize because he was making a choice for himself. He was actually about to go live in the very place that was about to be destroyed. He lifted up his own eyes. Right? He beheld the plain because it looked good. Folks, we don't need to look for things that are good. We need to listen to the voice of God in our hearts because there's things that are going to look good all the time. Right? He says, it's well watered. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it's kind of like that's the Holy Spirit's way of saying he shouldn't have looked over there. It wasn't beautiful for long. It was even like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you come unto Zoar. Look at verse 11. Here's the absolute problem here. Lot then chose him all the plain of the Jordan. Literally, in a modern translation, it says, and Lot chose for himself. Lot decided to make a decision for himself. And Lot journeyed east. They separated themselves one from the other. Here's the verse that every time I read it, I just want to say, Lot, what are you doing? Lot, Abraham has the blessing. Abraham has the promise. Abraham, the reason why Abraham could say, whatever way you go, I'll just go the other way, because Abraham knew that wherever he ended up, God was going to help him and bless him. Yeah. But Lot started to look for his own, meaning he started to just choose for himself. Folks, this happens in our lives if we're not careful. We start making decision after decision that God never called us to make. Lot should have never separated from Abraham. Abraham was the one that God put Lot with. Abraham had something to help him. Yes, are you here? Lot chose them all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one for another. Lot, oh, no, Lot, what are you doing? All because your herdsmen couldn't get along? Lot should have been like, no, you know, if I have to get rid of some of my animals, if I have to fire those herdsmen, if I've got to, whatever I've got to do, I'm not leaving, because God told Lot to be with Abraham. Ooh, are you here? Folks, the reason why I bring this up is because every single one of us, myself included, we will be set with people in our life that God has set us with. And we should start to know and understand, where is the place that God wants us to be? I'm not talking about just a church, though I tell you what, that would be very much included. Where are you set in the body of Christ? Who is it in your life, you know, that God has set you with, that he's put a grace on their life to help you and to mentor you into the things of the Lord? I'll tell you what, God has put several people like that in my life. First and foremost, just happens to be my pastor. You know, there's other men and women of God that he has set me with throughout the years. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. And when you're supposed to be with somebody, you want to make sure that you obey that. This, how many of you know this would be true for your spouse? You know, God set you with your spouse. You know, you don't get eyes for something else. Are you here? Ooh, praise the Lord. I'm having fun even if you're not. Glory to God. Lot makes the mistakes that dominate his future and bring him to very low places. Lot chose what he thought was the best for himself. When we choose for ourselves in this life and we don't listen and wait upon the Lord, folks, this is what I'm trying to get across. We've got to be spirit conscious. We've got to be listening to the voice of God in our spirit, right? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, searching all the inward parts of the belly. I'm not listening for God up here in my mind. I'm listening down here in what the Bible calls the center of man or the conscience of man. God is trying to speak to us. But don't be like Lot and just live a life of choosing everything for yourself. Oh, this is the best job. I like that one the best, so I'll just go do that. Oh, this one pays the most money. Oh, hey, that person, you know, I want to be with them because my financial future, and so I'll develop a relationship there. Or I like that church better, or I like this, I do this. If we're not careful, we're choosing all these things for ourselves, and we've never gone to the altar of God. Here we see Lot, who's making these decisions, but we never are told one verse that he was ever at that altar. He was not at that altar. He had not heard the voice of God. Are we here? Where has God put you? Yes, it could be in your job. Yes, it's in your church. Who has he put you with? You should know that. Amen. Listen, I'd love to be everybody's pastor, but I know and understand that I'm not. You know what I mean? My goal isn't to get you, you know, to just, you know, be here. My goal is to get you set in the body of Christ as God, you know, as it pleases him. Amen. Are you here? But see, we make all these decisions for ourselves. And if we're not careful, we'll learn the hard lessons of Lot. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Abraham ended up in the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land of blessing, even though the valley of Jordan looked better in the natural. Isn't that amazing? In the natural, the valley of Jordan looked far more beautiful than Canaan. But Canaan was where the blessing is at. Stop chasing everything that looks good. Hear God's voice. Amen. Pray. And don't move until you have God's direction in your own heart. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Notice this. It's very interesting to see that the man, Abraham, who was at the altar, ended up exactly where God wanted him. Isn't that amazing? See, I believe this. People that fellowship with God, that seek God, they will always end up on their feet. They'll always end up on their feet. Doesn't mean we won't go through challenges, but you'll end up on your feet. I believe that. It's true. The one that stayed at the altar, the one that got back to the altar, the one that was hearing God's voice and not just looking at whatever plot of land looked better. I'm not chasing where the best money is. I'm not looking for things in life that just make me the happiest. Ooh, boy, we got to say some of that stuff again. So many Christians, they just think, well, everything in life is just about getting happy. No, it's not. I'm not chasing happiness. I'm chasing holiness. Holiness means separated unto God for his purposes. I don't have to, if I'm just living addicted to good feelings all the time, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? I'll tell you, you know, here we see Lot was just looking at the Jordan Valley and it gave him a lot of good feelings, so he chose that. But Abraham heard the voice of God. He stayed with the blessing right where God told him and he ended up on his feet. He ended up blessed. Actually, we're going to see what happened to Lot. Wow. Praise the Lord. I believe that. People who walk in fellowship and obedience of God will consistently land on their feet. They won't have to spend their spiritual lives drifting from one idea to the next. Amen. Are you ready? I'm going to give you two mistakes that Lot made. Are you ready? Mistake number one, Lot chose for himself. He chose for himself. You know, I don't know how many unmarried folks we have here, but if you're looking to be married, you know, you want to be with the one that God chose for you. That God chose. Well, I like them because this, and yes, attraction should be there, and yes, they should be serving God. But we should hear God's voice. Lot chose for himself. Lot wasn't at the altar. Lot didn't hear God's voice. And notice, Lot didn't even ask Abraham. Abraham said, hey, just go what way you want to go. If Lot would have had any shred of wisdom at all, he would have said, Abraham, you're the one that God's been talking to. Abraham, you know, you're the one that is walking in this blessing. He would have submitted himself because God gave him a leader. And I'm not here preaching this about me. I have leaders too. You know what I mean? You know, again, our leader's voice is never bigger than the word. It's never bigger than God's voice. But when God puts somebody into your life that is hearing from heaven, I am so grateful that my pastor hears from heaven. You know, I'm so grateful for that. And no, I don't just go and depend on every little opinion of his. And that's not what we're talking about. But we should have leadership in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. He chose for himself. And you could say it this way, he decided with his own ambition. And you say, well, Pastor, what does this have about drama? Where did it all start? Folks, I'm just going to cut to the chase. I was saving this for the end. The lessons of Lot, you're going to see tonight that they're the lessons of destination. Where Lot is going to end up, his destination ends up in a very bad place. How many of you have read the story of Lot and you know where he ends up? Very bad. Where did it all start? With drama. Because why? It's a lesson of destination. Because if the starting point is wrong, the end point is going to be wrong. If you start on a new direction on something that just starts from drama or offense, your destination is going to be off. That's what happens. That's what happened a lot. He started on a direction, and the starting point was based on drama and offense. Are you here? And if you're doing stuff out of drama and offense, your destination cannot be good. It doesn't matter how many years. We don't know how long Abraham was in Egypt, but he had to stop, get back to the altar, and get back to the plan. Are you here? Whoa, praise the Lord. Mistake number one, Lot chose for himself. He didn't listen to God's voice. He wasn't at the altar. He decided with his own ambitions. Everyone hear that word? Ambition in the world is a very positive thing. Ambition in God's eyes is not a good thing. Selfish ambition. Are you here? What does it say there? Go back up to verse 11. What does it say? Lot chose for himself. He chose for himself. Himself. Selfish ambition. He saw how good and the opportunity was. He had his own ambitions. Listen to this. Ambition is a counterfeit voice of the Holy Spirit. Never forget that. The word ambition, it means to set out to achieve something on your own. God has never called any of us to achieve something on our own. I will never achieve anything on my own. You will never achieve anything good, meaning good in God's eyes, if we're just going alone, right? We're all here to assist one another. You know, we're not lone rangers in the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I need the local church. I need pastors. I need divine counsel. Hallelujah. Amen. We need a church family. We need one another. Amen. We do not chase selfish ambitions. Ooh, that's what it means. The word ambition, it means your own desires to achieve something for yourself. Oh, boy. Folks, be very careful. This can happen in business. I see so many Christians, they get an ambition to get into business, which, praise God for business. But again, the question to everything, did God tell you that? Don't just follow your own ambitions. Now, God will give you great things to go and accomplish, and he will bless and promote and raise up a business if he's in it. If he's in it. All right? But if you're just chasing your own hobbies, your own recreation, your own business, your own stuff, are you here? Be very careful. Where did it all start? Drama. Because drama is always about ourselves. Drama is always about ourselves. You know, when we've got to be right all the time, it's just a token of selfishness. He chose for himself. Ambitions is when we have strong desires to achieve something for ourselves. Ambition is the most dangerous when somebody has personal insecurities, woo, past hurts or failures, and they think that achievements will fill that void or affirm or validate them in their life. The only thing that can affirm you or validate you or strengthen you is to be right in the middle of what God told you to do. Are you here? Regardless of how glorious it is or isn't, regardless of the notoriety or the prestige that it gives to you or doesn't give to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't look for some kind of achievement to validate you in this life. I see people do this with ministry all the time. I've had people over, you know, the course of years who have gotten, you know, mad at me if, you know, I didn't, you know, put them into ministry or if I didn't hire them on staff. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you know, that, you don't pursue something in ministry to get the title or the prestige of it or the notoriety of it. Are you here? Oh, my goodness. There's times I can remember, you know, people flipping out on me, you know, refusing to talk to me for months because I hired somebody else on staff or whatever. And I'm just here to tell you, that is the indicator that you aren't supposed to be there. Are you here? And I've seen people with insecurities and they need something. They need their business to achieve, or they need a certain title in ministry, or they need something because they're desperate to be validated. Folks, our validation comes from heaven. It comes from the Lord. Yes. Again, are you here? Lot started to choose for himself and started to go a very dangerous direction. Praise the Lord. The goal is to do what God said to do. Praise the Lord. Here's mistake two. Are you ready? Here's a second mistake that he did. He separated from Abraham. Like I said, who had been given oversight of Lot? Abraham did. Lot was the nephew. Lot's father, Haran. You remember Haran? No, you don't. I'm just kidding. You know, Haran over there in Genesis chapter 11. You know, the way I say it in my mind so I remember who he was, I call him Haran Solo. So that just to me, okay, for all you Star Wars buffs out there, you know. But Haran was who? Haran was the dad of Lot. Remember that? He was the dad of Lot. And now the Bible doesn't say this, but Jewish tradition tells us that Haran died trying to save pagan idols. Do you know that? Lot's dad, the reason why Lot ended up with Abraham is because his dad died, and his dad supposedly jumped into a fire trying to save pagan idols. That interesting? And so I'll tell you what, Lot should be very grateful to be with Abraham, right? Amen. But Lot was placed with Abraham by God for Lot's own protection. Praise the Lord. He was a nephew. You could say it this way. Lot separated himself from covenant leadership. Like I said, we are all called to serve under somebody. We're all called to have, you know, people in our lives. It can also be our spouse. Thank God, you know, we don't destroy those covenant relationships. Praise the Lord. We must have an opportunity to prove ourselves and to learn submission. All right. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. So here's the two mistakes. Number one, he chose for himself. Two, he separated himself from the people that God had called him to be. Who are the people in your life? You don't need to answer it out loud, but think of the people in your life that God has set you with. All right? Yeah, you start thinking of your spouse. Yeah, it could be your pastor. You know, and you should know who your pastor is. But also, it could be your employer. You know, it could be, you know, a business relationship. You should know, and you, I believe you will know as you seek God, the relationships that God has connected you to and the ones that he has separated. Are you here? All right. So now, we're going to end this story right here. What happened to Lot? Because he chose for himself and separated himself from Abraham. Are you ready? I'm just going to take you over to some very difficult verses to look at here. Go over to Genesis 19 and verse 30. You don't want this to happen to you. Where did it all start? It started with drama. Why? When we're people of drama, if we're always, you know, in conflict with somebody, if we're always fighting with our spouse, it's going to be hard to hear God's voice. If we're always fighting with our church, it's going to be hard to hear God's voice. If you're always fighting with your employer, it's going to be hard to hear God's voice. Strife and drama is kryptonite to the plan of God. It crushes, it hurts, it destroys, it divides. Are you here tonight? Oh, I can see now why God chose this man Abraham. Look at Genesis 19 and go over to verse 30. Look at Genesis 19:30. Now this is after he's separated. Now remember, let me just fill in some parts of the story. What happened to Lot after he left Abraham? He lost everything. He lost it all. Remember what happened? You know, of course, fire and brimstone, you know, fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, he was running out of there. His wife, what, looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Remember that? He lost all of his herds. Isn't it very interesting that the herds that created the drama in the beginning, he lost them anyway. He lost them anyway. You know, it would have been better just to give up a little, just to stay faithful. Folks, we're all going to have sacrifices. Folks, don't you have to have sacrifice in your marriage? You know, does your spouse make you happy 24/7, 365? You know, all the married people, yes, you look at your spouse right now, tell them yes, yes, you do. But that's a lie, right? I mean, no matter how awesome my wife is, do you think it's possible once in a great while she does something that just, you know, I don't like? Of course. I can guarantee you I do probably 1,000 things that, you know, she does not like. Of course. What about your pastor? Is your pastor going to do stuff that you don't like? Of course. Absolutely. Is your employer going to do things that you don't like? Yes. Are your friends, your church family? Yes. Family members. You know? People that you're related to. And I'll tell you know what? I wasn't planning on sharing this, and maybe I'll just keep it very general. You know, the longest counseling appointments in my life as a pastor for 20 years have all been within this last year, without a doubt. And I've been taking notice, and I've been actually, you know, taking note of this. I started realizing that all the appointments that come to me and the people that I talk to and the struggles that people are having, I mean, yeah, every once in a while it might be something financial or whatever, but overwhelmingly, the struggles that people are having are with struggles with what other people have done to them. You know, and maybe sometimes it's justified, sometimes it's not, but almost all of it is coming down to drama between people. See, Abraham said, let's not have that drama. And I'm telling you what, in my life is a drama-free zone. I ain't having it. If someone just shows that they're going to just want to create controversy and all that, I love you, but I'm not having drama with you. You know, sometimes you just got to have that. I tell my boys at home, of course, you know, teenagers will be teenagers. They're great boys, but every once in a while I say, hey, we ain't having this drama. Not having it. It's not acceptable in this house. Praise the Lord. Are you here tonight? Look what happened to Lot. So he loses his wife. He loses his herds. All the herdsmen that he had to begin with are gone. He has to run out, and he ends up living in a cave. Oh, and yes, I am going to read these verses. Lot went up out of Zoar, and he dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. The tents are gone, the herds are gone, the gold, the silver, it's all gone. It's all gone. Why? Because he chose for himself. Why? Because he wouldn't stop the drama. He ended up in the wrong destination because the starting point was at the wrong place. Drama and offense is never a place to start a direction. Are you here? Let me say that again. Drama and offense is never a place to start a direction. Oh, praise the Lord. Lot went up. He lived in the mountain. That means a cave. And it says that right in this verse. His two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and he and his two daughters. Oh, boy. Are we really going to read these verses? Look at verse 31. It says, and the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us in the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine, got him drunk one night. And then they repeated this whole process again a different night. And Lot ended up fathering children with his own daughters. How many of you know that's a low place in life? He once lived on the plain of the Jordan. He had unsearchable wealth. He had all the herds and everything. But because there was just drama, he decided to choose for himself. And now, you remember who these two young, the two children that were born, do you remember who they became, right? The Moabites and the Ammonites. Do you remember? So here he is, out of the plan and out of the will of God, has lost everything, is now having a very disgusting relationship with his daughters, and now he is in a cave, literally sleeping in the dirt, and the two children that are born were both boys, and they were the beginnings of the nations. Number one was the Moabites and the Ammonites. How many of you have read your Old Testament? What did the Moabites and the Ammonites end up becoming? Enemies of Israel. They started nations that later on down the road did everything they could to kill the Jews. And remember, King David was the one that famously defeated them all. Remember that? Remember the Ammonites and the Moabites? Remember them? They hated. They literally grew to hate and to desire the destruction of Israel. Think about that. All because Lot in the plain started choosing for himself. All because he allowed drama to separate him from the people that God wanted him to be with. Are you here? All because he wouldn't lay down the arguments and just let those herdsmen go. Give up some of it. You do what you got to do. Stay connected to where God had you. Go to the altar. Hear God's voice. Get the plan of God. Don't choose for yourself. Are you here? Lot ends up having incest with his daughters and fathering the nations of the Moabites and the Ammonites. These nations would both attack and fight against Israel, and King David famously defeated those nations later on. What happens if Israel would have gotten wiped off the map? We wouldn't have had who? We wouldn't have Jesus. Do you see how our actions can have consequences? Now, of course, I don't think you're ever going to make a mistake this drastic that's going to create nations that'll fight against Jesus. I don't think that's going to happen. But God's plan can be hurt and destroyed. There's people that we don't even realize that gets hurt when we're living in constant strife. How about if you're fighting in the house all the time? Does it hurt your kids? Oh, it more than just hurts your kids. It could hurt future generations. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't see the consequences of our decisions when we make them for ourselves. This is why it's so important to hear the voice of God. And that's what I'm going to repeat, and we'll end right here. The lessons of Lot are the lessons of destination. Where you end up and how God can use you, it all depends on where your starting point is. If you're starting in a place of offense, and if you're starting in a place of, dishonor, or if you're starting in a place that, would lead you in this direction, I tell you what, your destination cannot be the right one. Are you here? Oh boy. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I think it's fine time that we get back to the altar. I think it's fine time that we get back to the altar. Amen. I think it's fine time that we hear God's voice and we don't choose for ourselves and we don't strife with other believers or people in our family or our employers and whatnot. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Yeah. Amen. Well, look at this early time. Man, I better just preach a whole other sermon here. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you and we praise you. Father, we glorify you. Lord, we see the mistakes of Lot. Father, we see that he chose for himself and he separated himself from the places that he was supposed to be. Father, we know that our destination is not going to end up right if we start with drama and strife, offense. Lord, we see that Lot, he went to some very dark places. He literally was brought so low. And we notice that Abraham always landed on his feet. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Father, you are holy, you are good. We bless you, we glorify your holy name. Father, you are faithful. And Lord, we want to know you, we want to know your plan, we want to know your will for our life. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you personally committed your life to him? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ask yourself that question, am I saved? Listen, this isn't a family church idea. This is the Bible. If you're unsure about your salvation, don't leave here tonight until you are sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you, if you say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to know that heaven's my home. I need to know that my sins are washed and cleansed. You know, sometimes people, they think they're saved because they grew up in a Christian family, or they think they're saved because they've been good people, or maybe you've even gone to church a whole bunch. Those things are great, but I'm here to tell you, but that's not equivalent to salvation. Salvation is when we act upon the Word of God and we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If that's you, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or send anybody else up to you. But if that's you, I'm just going to simply ask you to lift your hand for 1 second. Take a step towards God and say, Lord, that's me. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. You'll even hear me say, I see that hand, you can put it down. When I see your hand, you'll put it down, and then I'm going to lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand now? Is there anyone here that you are uncertain about your salvation? Just want to make sure. I know I'm sitting in a room here with a lot of believers, but just in case, I don't ever want to assume something. Father God, I don't see any hands. But Lord, if for some reason someone within the sound of my voice has never made Jesus their Lord, Father, I pray that, Lord God, that they would not leave this earth until they do. Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you. You are holy and good. Father, we thank you again. We see what you're looking for when we see Abraham's life. Lord, that's what we want to be, peacemakers, peacekeepers. Drama-free zone. Praise you, Lord. Father, we're not interested in gossip. We're not interested in backbiting. We're not interested in division. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give them all the praise and all the glory. We'll be dismissed. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you that your hand is upon each one here tonight. Father, we glorify your holy name and we give you all the praise and all the glory.